Yeah, it looks like they're headed that way. So pray for the workers, and they head the other direction. Praise the Lord for every one of our boys and girls. And anytime you want to preach, brother, I'm all ears. I'd love to hear that. I appreciate Brother Ron, his ministry, and his labor of love, and his heartbeat for music, and praising the Lord. And thank the Lord for our praise band, all those Sunday after Sunday. They put a lot of work, folks. I don't know if any of the congregation has any idea, but the practices, the time, the energy, the puts into that, the prayers, and they don't take it lightly. And I know this man doesn't take it lightly. I thank the Lord for you, brother, time and time again in the praise band. And what a blessing. Let's take our Bibles this morning and the book of Proverbs, if you will, the book of Proverbs. We're going to start in Proverbs. We're going to then go to the book of Isaiah. But we're, you know, I begin to think about, you know, in the world that we live in today, you hear so much going on, and you try to figure out, you know, what's true, what's not, and what is the truth? What can you trust in? What can you have confidence in? You know, and this word trust is an interesting word, trust. This week, Pastor Adam and I was out in the barn, church barn out here doing some things. We couldn't get one of the vehicles going. And do you notice if you've ever done anything on this, you know, a battery has a positive cable and a negative cable and that. And so when I look at this, it began to make me think about some of this in Proverbs here, this word trust. I want to give to you today, we're going to start out with the positive side of it, but I want to give you some things that God says in the Bible that where you and I should have some trust and confidence in. So I titled the message today, Trust in the Lord with All Thy Heart. It's taken right here from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. And these two verses, you ought to underline, highlight it. Put it in a chain reference in your Bible. You know, there are just certain places in the Scripture you ought to be able to go to that can help you in a time of need in your life. This is one of those verses that you ought to be able to claim and to go to. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." What a great passage of Scripture here. If you want God's hand and God's leading and God's direction in your life, he gives you a pretty simple formula to follow. You take that word trust there in the Bible in verse 5, and if you identify the word trust, it really means in the Scripture, it simply means a firm belief in the reliability of, or the truth of, our ability of, or the strength of someone or something. So when we think about right here, trust, it is really a reliability. What God is saying today is you can rely on me. God is saying you can trust in me. God is simply saying you can depend on me. You can depend on my ability and my strength. And when all else fails, you can trust me. And today, there's so many times that people are looking for trust and confidence, and we need to put our trust in the Lord. Let's go back to Isaiah now. Let me share this with you. Isaiah 45 and Isaiah chapter 45. So when we think of the positive side of it, God simply says that trust in the Lord with all thy heart, not part of it, all your heart, and by that, by faith, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. We're going to see that here in the Scripture today. And all thy ways, and all thy ways, and all that you do, and all that goes about in your life, learn to trust the Lord every day, morning, noon, and night, and have confidence in him. And even when the trials come, the difficulties come, the challenges come, the heartaches come, the pain, you can still trust God. You can still have reliability in him. You can still depend upon him no matter what happens. Trust him and have total confidence. And so I want to show you some things from the Bible today, things that we can literally trust him in. Isaiah 45, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5, the Bible says, "I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know me, know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So when you think about what God is simply saying here to Isaiah, as he gives us in this 45th chapter, there's no one else. There's nobody else that can do what God can do. There's nobody else that you can rely on as good as you can rely on God. There's nobody else that you can put your trust in any better than what you can put your trust in God on today. So I don't know what your trust is. I don't know what your belief system is today. I don't know, sometimes it's so easy to pull back and trust in yourself or trust in something else or trust in, anything. But I wanted to point out today simply that we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And as we do so, in all thy ways, in everything we do, acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths. So in what do we really trust in today? When we really began to live our lives day to day, how much do you really stake on the things and what you can have confidence? I don't know about you, but I have less and less trust, especially in a lot of the systems that are around us. Even sometimes you run into certain people and you say, well, I trust them. Until they do something that lets you down, till they do something that makes a misstep, till they do something that you say, you know what, I'm not so sure if I can trust them anymore. I can honestly tell you this today, God will never let you down. God is always reliable, and I think that's what he's trying to get across here. No matter what happens, you can trust him. No matter what happens, you can have confidence in him. No matter what happens, God is faithful, and he's reliable, and he's dependable, and that's what he was telling Isaiah. That's what the Proverbs is all about right there. But there are some things that you cannot trust in. And that's what I want to show you, the negative side of this. Like going back and saying, there's a positive and there's a negative. The positive today is always about God. The positive is today, no matter what's going on, you can trust him. In the deepest, darkest hour and the hardest pain and the most struggle in your life, you can trust God. God knows every little detail of our life. Trust him. You can rely on him. You can depend on him. And as we said here in the book of Isaiah chapter 45, there is no other God. There is no other person. There is no other place you can go where you can get that kind of trust and that kind of confidence. So trust in him. But when you look at it today, what do you not trust in? Let's go to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. I would say to you today, point number one is simply that you cannot trust man. You cannot trust man. Thus saith the Lord. When you look at it here and Jeremiah chapter 17, you get down to verse 5. And a great chapter here that Jeremiah gives us. In verse 5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man. Cursed be the man that, what? Trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So many times in life, you know, where do you get? I don't know about you, but in the political arena that we're in today, I don't trust any of them. Good, bad, the ugly. Democrat, Republican, doesn't make any difference. Independent. When you look at them today, we live in a very turmoil world. When you look at it today, economically and what's going on in our world and our society today, and just the downfall of mankind in general, and especially it says here, don't put your trust in man that maketh his flesh arm and whose heart then departeth from the Lord. I love what it says in verse 7 there, in Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that, what, again, trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. So if you're going to trust in something today, trust in God and him alone. If you're going to hope in something today, trust in him and God alone, nothing else, because everything else probably at some point will fail. Why is that so? Look in verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it, he says. And then the Lord says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And as the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of the days and at the end shall be a fool. Says here, it's interesting, you're going down through that chapter, a lot of great things in there, but it comes back to the point that you cannot trust in anything other than God. You cannot trust and have total confidence in any one person other than God. It says here that we ought not to trust in man. So step number one today, be careful who you put your trust in. Be careful who you put your confidence in. Be careful who you follow and realizing who you say, well, I got great friends. Well, I do too. And I trust them. But when you look at it here, the Bible says to be careful and to be wise in what you do. Now, here's an eye-opener for you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. The positive side of this today is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. So we found from the book of Jeremiah that you can't really trust mankind. And be careful with that. Secondly, as you need to be careful here, is you really can't trust yourself. You say, oh yeah, I can. Well, let me show you what the Bible says. And so when you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul giving us these scriptures here, and go back to verse 8, he said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." And here's the text verse in verse 9. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the God which raiseth the dead." With all the things that Paul went through life and the struggles that he went through, realizing here that he's saying that he had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Paul learned the lesson very well, and there was a day that Paul went about through the land trying to destroy Christianity, preaching against the church, was at the stoning of Stephen, and then all of a sudden God said, "No, Saul, you're a chosen vessel unto me," struck him down on the Damascus Road, took the blinders off so he could see who it was, and then he opened his eyes, and Saul became Paul, trusted God as his personal Lord and Savior. But Paul recognized this. He recognized here that he couldn't even trust himself. And the challenges, you know, and I'm reminded of what he said over in the book of Romans, and paraphrasing there, he's saying, you know, the things I know I should do, I don't do. I'm paraphrasing it really. The things I should do, I don't do. And the things I know I shouldn't do, that's what I do. And within yourself, realizing Paul recognized he was the chiefest of sinners, and realizing that his worst enemy was himself. So be careful when you get to this and you look at it and you say, well, surely I can trust myself. Well, not according to what Paul's saying here at the church at Corinth. Be careful and be wise. I don't know about you, but by the grace of God, there goes you and I. Be careful. You know, every once in a while you'll hear somebody that will do something or something will happen and they'll go astray and they'll fall off and get into trouble, whatever. I don't know about you, but I always think of this, but by the grace of God, there go I. But by the grace of God, the only thing that allows you and I to stay on a straight and narrow path and a path to follow Him is by the grace and the mercy and the kindness of God. And the Bible simply says here that we ought to trust in the Lord with all your heart, not part of your heart, with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, don't think you can, well, I can figure it out. I know what's best to do. I know where to pick my friends. I know how to handle myself. I got a pretty good handle on me. Really. And to realize here, do we really? The Bible simply says that we need to trust the Lord and acknowledge Him, because then He will direct our paths and lead us in the right path that we should walk in. So I think the second thing we need to realize here, number one is you can't trust even mankind. You can't trust yourself. And now let's go back to Proverbs and Proverbs chapter 28. When you go to 28, Proverbs chapter 28, you can't trust your heart. Proverbs chapter 28. I'm just trying to give you some things today that I'll show to you in the Scripture. You know, it's interesting because I think a great Bible example of this would be none other than King David himself. And you know, the Bible simply taught us about David simply was that David was a man after God's own heart. So if David was a man after God's own heart, now we're going to find here in Proverbs that really you can't even trust your heart, because it says here, look at it in Proverbs and chapter 28, and you get down to verse 26. "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." You remember, and you look at that, and you look at King David's life, and what a great Bible character King David is in the Scripture. But it says here, to even trust in your own heart is a foolish man. David was a man of war. David had a lot of blood on his hands from fighting the battles with the Philistines and the enemy and everything. And so when he came back to the palace, what did he do when he looked out his window? He looked and saw a woman and lusted after her and then sent for her. And that was Bathsheba, and brought Bathsheba to the palace. Come to find out, he then committed adultery with Bathsheba. You say, well, you should be able to trust your own. No, David couldn't even trust his own heart. And here's a man that probably loved God more than anybody did. David was a man that loved the Lord, walked with the Lord, and was a favorite of God's through that. And yet we find that David comes back and couldn't even follow his own heart. It simply says that trust in the Lord with all thy heart. So what did David do? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. Then realizing the sin that he had committed, realized that he had a problem. And so he's trying to figure out what to do and how to solve that problem. So he gets Uriah, who is Bathsheba's husband, and comes in from the battlefield and has Uriah come back home and says, you know, go and he didn't want to leave his men in battle and that, and go and stay with your wife and spend the night with your wife or whatever. David's trying to cover his tracks. Uriah would not go in unto his wife during that night and stayed out there, and lo and behold, once David realized that Uriah would not even go in with his wife, he then realized he had another problem. What am I going to do? He said, and many times you think you're going to correct something, you just make it worse. So he decided to take Uriah, and he had to do something with Uriah because he knew Bathsheba, with Bathsheba and the relationship he had with her. And so he sent Uriah, told his generals to send Uriah out to the hottest battle on the battlefront, and where he could easily be killed. And so there's David, a man after God's own heart, committing adultery and then committing murder. But I love what it says over in the book of Psalms, and look what David said over here in Psalm 51. And you're there in Proverbs, just go back a few pages of the 51st Psalm. David realizing, you know, he had a mess, and then he made more of a mess out of it. And, I've had different people down through the years ask me, say, well, you think David went to heaven? And I would just say to you, my friend, I think if David's not in heaven, you and I aren't going to be there. David was a man after God's own heart. It just shows you the wickedness and the sinfulness of the heart. Shows you here. And David, once he realized what he had done, cried upon to God and said in verse 1 of Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. And what does he say? Blot out my transgressions. Blot out my sin. Take this away. The guilt is so immense. And what does he say in verse 2? Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. You could say right there in verse 3 is true biblical repentance. David comes and repents of that sin and said, God, cleanse me, and I acknowledge my sin, and I realize I've done wrong. He says in verse 3 and verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, the Bible says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now think about that, in sin. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and David knew this, and David recognized that from birth we come into this world born a sinner, that sin has passed upon the whole human race from Adam and Eve all the way down through. And here's a man that loved God more than anybody loved God, and yet found himself in a position of weakness. And so trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and everything that we have. So you find here that you really, really, ultimately can't even trust, like David, can't trust your own heart. Then, if you will, go over to Proverbs chapter 11. You know, it's interesting. You say, well, then, Pastor, what can I trust in? You know, I run into a lot of people, or know, have met down through life's journey, a lot of people that that trust in riches and that simply, the Bible simply says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fail. There are many people in the Bible that had riches. And it says here in Psalm 11, and look at it in verse 1, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven, his eyes behold, and his eyelids try the children of men. And the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares and fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest, and this shall be a portion of their cup. For the righteous, the Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. Simply, when you look at it today, you simply cannot even, number one, you can't trust man. Number two, you cannot trust even yourself, we find in 2 Corinthians, according to Paul. And then through David's life, we realize you can't even trust your own heart. And then, ultimately, you can't trust even riches. Let's go over to the New Testament and 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'll share something with you here in a moment. Get to that 1 Timothy text. You know, it's an interesting thing. Nothing wrong with riches. There have been many people in the Bible. Many of the Bible characters were wealthy. And that money technically is neutral. Money can be done for good. And money can also be done for evil. I don't know about you, but I'm praying somehow God will... you know, this man, George Soros, has done a lot of evil with the money that he has. There's a lot of people that can do a lot of good with the money that he has. So when you look at it here in the scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and in verse 17, simply says, charge them that are rich in this world, and that they be not high-minded, nor what? Here's the key, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So if you're rich today, God has given you those riches. If you're wealthy today, God has given you that wealth. Nothing wrong with that. Man has worked hard and accumulated and saved and been wise with what he's done. Nothing wrong with the riches. But when you sit here and realize that nor are we to trust in those uncertain riches. And so to put confidence, I knew a man that became a really good friend of mine and even worked with him a while in business. And I remember sitting in a meeting with him at Merrill Lynch one day, and we're in a meeting and we're going through some things. And at that point, he had about $3.5 million in liquid cash. So we're sitting there, and you look at it in today's world, that's not a lot of money, but to a lot of people, that's a lot of money. So what we were laying out was looking at business plans and things that we're working on, how to make the next million. Now, I was just a Bible college student, seminary student, and I happened to work in a management position and working with him and in a leadership role. And so I asked him the question. His name was Doug. By the way, I've already preached his funeral. And one day, standing in Lapeer, Michigan, he looked at me and he said, you know what? He said, I'd give up everything I have if I could have what you have. I said, I don't have anything, brother. He said, no, I'm talking about in here. I said, you can. And I had the opportunity to see that man come to Christ. But to him, everything was interesting. What is it? You know, here's what he used to tell me. He'd say, Rick, he said, at some point, he said, a house is a house, a car is a car, and a steak is a steak. At some point, you make enough money, you have enough money, it doesn't have the same meaning and the same significance. I said, so we were sitting at Merrill Lynch trying to figure out how to make the next million. He was. I just happened to be there with him and, as somebody that worked in the company at that time and looking at it. So, but the Bible makes it very clear right here, if you're going to trust in those riches, simply saying here, charge them, it says in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God, and who giveth us richly all things to enjoy and to enjoy. So whatever God has blessed you with, has given to you, enjoy that. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't worship that. Don't trust in that. It simply was that God that has given to you, and he simply says here, who giveth us richly things to enjoy. So don't get caught up in the things and the wealth. And so when you look at it, we're to trust in the Lord, and you cannot trust in the riches. Go to Isaiah chapter 47. You know, it's when you look at it here in the Bible, Isaiah 47, let me give you the fifth thought along with this here today. And that simply is you cannot trust in hiding your sin before the Lord. You know, David soon come to a realization that, you know what? I have sinned. And you know what? I'm now trying to figure out a way to cover up my sin. And then once he realized he couldn't do that, David just went from bad to worse, and it got worse along the way until he realized, you know what? There's nothing you can do to cover up your sin. So you can't trust in hiding your sin from God. There's a song that Brother Ron sings. I don't know the name of it. I just know the message behind it. And I love the messages in his songs. But it talks about the secret part. What's the name of that song? A secret place, the secret parts of the heart. Sometimes we think, you know, we can take something in life and hide it in the innermost sanctum, the innermost parts of the heart, and surely nobody will know, and God won't know, and we can hide it. No, you can't. There's nothing you can do that you can hide it from the Lord. Here it is, Isaiah chapter 47. You get down to verse 10, verse 11. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, and thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. Mischief shall fall upon thee, and thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. So when you think about trust in the Bible and the Scripture here, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart is most important, and to realize you can't trust in man. You can't really trust in yourself. You can't really, even according to Proverbs and King David, trust in your own heart. You surely can't trust in riches, and you surely can't trust in being able to cover up and hide up the sins. So when you think about it, let's go to Isaiah chapter 12. And to realize here, the most important thing is to behold that God is the God of our salvation. Isaiah chapter 12. In verse 1, Isaiah 12, 1, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Now verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. What a great verse. You want a great verse to highlight and to memorize, to underline, to pinpoint? Right there is a great verse for you, that God today, and you got to ask yourself today, is God the God of your salvation today? Do you know Him today? Are you trusting in Him today? And it says here, be not afraid, the Lord Jehovah, it is He that is my strength. It is God that is my song. It is God that has become my salvation. Trust in nobody else. Trust in nothing else. And to have confidence, total confidence in Him. Let's go to Psalm 37. Back to Psalm 37. And we look at Psalm 37, and there's just so many great verses packed here in the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms. Psalm 37, you get down to verse 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him. So whatever you're going through in life, it's important that not only do we trust Him for our salvation, we trust Him for our everyday living. We trust Him in all ways, that we acknowledge Him and He'll direct our path, and that we ought to trust Him that whatever you're going through. So many times we try to take the reins and we get a hold of it and try to do it ourselves and direct it, and God says, no, just trust me. I got this and I can take care of it. Proverbs chapter 29, if you're over there, just a few pages. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, we're all looking for a place of safety. We're all looking for a place of peace. We're all looking for a place of tranquility. We're all looking for a place that you can get to and you can just enjoy your life, and that is to realize the most important thing is to put your trust and confidence in Him. And no matter what is happening, God is on the throne. He knows every step and everything along the journey of life. You can totally trust Him for everything. So trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. Because sometimes, you know, we go along and we think we got it figured out. We learn a little bit of Bible, we learn a little bit of theology, and we learn a little bit of life experiences, and then we think we've finally arrived. I've met a lot of people that think they finally have arrived, they got this thing figured out, only to fall off the bandwagon. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. The key is to acknowledge Him and to put Him first and to trust Him first and to realize that it is only God that is reliable, that you can depend upon, you can have confidence in, and anything really looks like, from what I can find and look at the Bible, you look at the positive is God. All the other negatives stack up is putting ourselves and our confidence in man. No, the hope for America is not going to be the next politician. I see they just had their CPAC meeting, and you know they're all gearing up for the next election, and they think that's going to save America. The only thing that's really going to save that is the Lord Jesus Christ, putting our confidence in Him. And it simply is, if my people, again, which are called by my name, what, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, and then will I heal their land. Our answer today, my friend, is not in the next politician. Our answer today is not in the next economic policy, although I think all those things are important. Our next answer today is to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we realize this important word of trust is so important. And God, there may be someone sitting here today or listening by way of the live stream today that they're trusting in something else for eternal life. They're trusting in maybe their good works or being a good person or whatever they're trusting in today. But God, we know that we need to trust in You totally by faith for eternal salvation. So God, Holy Spirit, today I pray You convict of sin and draw the lost person to You, that they'd open their heart and have confidence and trust in You for eternal life. God, I pray for the one that's sitting here today, and maybe they're trusting in something else. Maybe they're trusting in themselves or their riches or their neighbors or their friends or whatever it is, God, that they're leaning upon. And God, I think You've made it pretty plain, pretty clear in the Scripture that if we're not trusting in You for everything, we will be misguided, we will be misled, we will fail at what we do. So God, help us to trust You today with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And God, will be sure to give You the praise today. We pray for that person right now that needs to be saved today. God, if there's one here in the sanctuary or listening by way of a live stream today, if they desire to ask Jesus Christ into their heart, Holy Spirit, I pray You would convict and bring conviction upon their heart that they would repent of their sin and come to Christ. And if you are one of those people today and you're here in the sanctuary and you want to pray and receive Christ as your Savior, you can do that right now, my friend, right now, this moment, in this service. Just pray and open your heart, and you can pray right where you sit today and ask God into your heart. I'll help you and walk you through it. Just simply pray, Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize that I am a sinner, and I cannot get to heaven on my own. God, I trust in nothing else but You and You alone for eternal salvation. God, today I repent of my sin and ask You to forgive me. And I accept that free gift of salvation for eternal life today. God, I believe and have confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus and desire today to be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me ask you today, my friend, what are you trusting in today? Where's your confidence in today? Are you relying on your fellow man? Are you relying on yourself? Are you relying on your riches? Relying on whatever it is? God simply pointed out to us in the Bible today that we need to trust Him and to lean on Him alone, solely, without anything else, to trust Him in all the ways that we go, and He will direct our path today. Let's stand together. Brother Ron's going to lead us a verse of invitation. If you'd like to come to pray at the altar is open. You're welcome to come to pray. If I can pray and help you in any way, I'd be glad to do that. If you're not saved, or maybe you just prayed to ask Christ in your heart, we'd love to pray with you here at the front. Whatever it is today that God the Holy Spirit would lead you, you come as the Holy Spirit leads. Brother Ron.
Pass me not, O gentle
Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Hear my humble cry.
God's people said, amen. Be seated just for a moment. And I want to share a few announcements with you, things that are going on. Pastor Adam, come on up. And then Dave and Paul's got an announcement to make here. Go ahead, brother.
Wow. As you know, Easter is fast approaching, and this year we're going to be doing something a little bit different here at the church. We're going to be having an Easter egg hunt for the kids ages 0 to 12. And so if you want to, you can invite your grandkids, your own kids, relatives, friends, family. Doesn't matter who it is. We want everyone to be here. And then also, the thing that we're doing different this year is we're going to be promoting it to the community. So in doing that, you never know how many people show up. We could have one kid from the community. We could have 300 kids from the community. We don't know. But what we're asking for you to do as a church is, if you wouldn't mind, Rachel Lynn is going to be out there at a table set up, and you'll see her whenever you go out the front doors over there. We're taking donations for candy. So we're going to be doing that up until a few weeks before Easter, if you would like, just to donate some candy for that. We're also taking donations for the plastic eggs also that we can put the candy inside of. And also, we're taking any financial donations, because Rachel Lynn was talking about putting together some different prizes and stuff like that for the kids that are going to be here and things like that. So once again, we're opening up to the community. We're hoping that this will be a really good outreach. And it's Easter, so people are looking for a church to attend. So why not First Baptist Church of Canton? So if you would just be in prayer about that, that everything goes well. And once again, if you wouldn't mind just stopping by and talking to Rachel Lynn on your way out. Thank you.
Any eggs that don't get picked up, the pastoral staff gets them, right? Come on, guys. Paul Tacy, Brother Dave Cuevas.
I'm going to try this without glasses, so we'll see how it goes. So we're going to be, the Courageous class is going to be sponsoring a game night / euchre tournament. I don't know if anybody knows what euchre is. It's a Michigan card game that we play. And so we're going to just be having that here in the chapel, and kind of, if we have enough people, we'll spill out into the entry area. We have a sign-up sheet over in the Welcome Center, and we're just asking that if you come, that you bring like just $5 to contribute towards pizza and snacks that we're going to have there during that time. And what's the other thing I wanted to say? Oh, the sign-up sheet looks like this. If you want to play euchre and you have a partner that you play with all the time, you're really good with, you can put your name and your partner's name there. If you don't have a partner and you still want to play, you can put your name there and just say no partner, and we'll try to pair you up with somebody. But should be a good time. We did this once before, and we had a good turnout, and it was fun. So if you have any questions, let Paul and I know. Anything else?
We're going just Friday. Yeah, Friday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, when is it? It's Friday, March 17th
at
6:30 p.m. So, and I know there's – yeah, there it is right there on the – thanks. So, thank you. All right, that's it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. There's a sign-up sheet for the golf outing. The men's golf outing is going to be May the 20th to the 23rd, and there's still room and time for you to get signed up if you want to go. We're going to play locally on Saturday. For those that want to play just a local course, they're playing the Washington Golf Club on Saturday afternoon, and then if those that are traveling, we'll be leaving Sunday after church and going down to Indiana, down by Kendallville, Indiana. And they'll be playing down there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. There's a handout, gives you all the details at the Welcome Center. And it's great. I think last year we had about 32 that went on, played the local day, and then about 24 traveled. And it's a great time of fellowship. We usually have a chapel service, pass out some awards. And it's a great time of fellowship and for the guys to get together. And just pray for good weather. So, and then if you're interested, if you have any questions, see Brother Ron, myself, one of the guys that go. We'll be glad to try to help you with that. Also, in your bulletin when you came in today, was a little handout there that's called Friend Day. It's been a while since we've done one of these, and we thought it'd be good to get it back on the calendar to do it. We set aside Sunday, April the 23rd, as Friend Day. And it's called an evangelism prayer sheet. This is a tool that you can use to write down somebody's name that you need to pray for. You know, we don't want you to go proselyting somebody who goes to another church. You know, this tool is used for you to reach out to family, friends, neighbors, somebody in the community, and you can maybe get them to church Invite them to church. Tell them you'll take them to lunch. There you go. And but what you're ultimately praying for is their salvation. And if they're already saved, that's great. They'd be good to get them back in church. But if they're not, pray that they would get saved. Nothing better than reaching out to your family and friends that they would come to know the Lord as their Savior. So there's some instructions on the back side of that. So pray for that. Palm Sunday is April the 2nd. Easter is April the 9th. And so we want to get past Easter and then do a friend day. So it's a great opportunity for you to begin to pray for your friends and family, somebody you know, and then invite them to church, bring them with you, and pray that they get saved. And you can be a part of that day or leading up to, or maybe even afterwards, that they come to know the Lord as their Savior. So down here is Brad. Raise your hand here, Brad. Brad's doing a CPI. I don't have my glasses on. CPL class. And there you go. It's amazing when you put your glasses on what comes into focus and that. But anyway, CPL class, if you have questions on that, Brad's here today. Just see him. And then also, too, next Sunday, time changes. We go to daylight saving time. So you got to, spring forward, fall back. So set your clock. You can get up at Saturday, midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, and, set your clock or whatever, just so you know. You make the adjustment for next weekend, and if you will, read the other things. The Golden Agers have a St. Patrick's Day fellowship on March the 16th. That's on a Thursday at 4:30. There's a sign-up sheet for that at the Welcome Center. And then also the dates the ladies wanted to get on the calendar. People that are ladies that are interested in going to Bethel Youth Camp, they're going on June the 8th to the 11th. If you have any questions, see Roslyn Tomasian or Tammy Phillips. They'll be glad to answer your questions in regards to that. We have this coming Saturday at 9:30. Purnell has a prayer group that meets on Saturdays this coming Saturday. And so if you will and you want to plug into that, that would be great. Let's stand together, and that will be dismissed in prayer. I see they have a ladies' crafting weekend coming up March the 9th. And ladies, if you're a part of that, you might want to mark that on your calendar. It's coming up real soon. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you that we can come and trust you for our salvation, that we can trust in you for our daily living. And God, that we realize that many times we may fail ourselves. Our fellow man may fail us. Riches for surely will fail us if we worship riches, other things along the way. But God, most importantly, you never fail. And God, that we can have confidence and trust in you, that we're to trust you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. God, we thank you for our salvation today, and help us to walk in your name and fellowship with you each and every day this week. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Have a great afternoon.
Stained glass windows, old bar stools and back row pews. I ran to one more than the other, but I couldn't outrun you. Trying to fill up all the empty, trying to numb the pain inside. Thinking you'd never forgive me for all those Saturday nights. But thank God for Sunday morning. Thank God for 316 and the words in red that say you bled and gave your life for me. Thank God for the choir singing and the voice singing come back home. Saturday night looked like the end of the story. Thank God for Sunday morning.
That could be. If you want, I'll go.
Now I know. To the broken hearts like mine, it's what you do. Yeah, somehow you bring dead things back to life. It might look like it's dissolved as a stone over a grave, but I've seen you move. I'm living proof. You still roll stones away. Thank God for Sunday morning. Thank glass window. Feels like freedom on my face. Really is a new beginning. Really is amazing grace.
That would be the one.
Thank God for Sunday morning. Thank God for 316. In a word you read, and say your prayer, and gave your life for me. Thank God for a choir singing, and the voice saying, come back home. Saturday night looked like the end of the story. Oh, Saturday night looked like the end of the story.
But I think he used subcontractors.
Thank God for Sunday morning. Thank God for Sunday morning.
Oh, we won't do that. Yes, yeah, second Monday. Thanks, Andrew. It is?
Need to make an announcement today because I'm not available tomorrow.
No, it's the second Monday. Oh. Okay.
Ann told me that coming in. I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Really?
No, it's just, it's always the second Monday. Really? Had it listed in. I didn't even read that part of it. And.
Oh. Oh, you know, maybe I did.
I walked right by that. Yep. And I'm like, oh, I don't need to get those.
I did take them out.
Okay.
I did. Roz is.
Oh, I didn't get them out of Roz's battery.